Yeah, I'm just.
I'm efficiency challenged. All right, we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3 says there, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Two observations that he makes here about men. One is that their heart is full of evil, and two is that there's madness. Madness. Have you observed any madness? Any madness? Wow. You know, it's true. It's true. And, there's an awful lot to be saying about that. But before we get to it, you got to understand, Solomon here is laying out some observations that he had made about life on this earth under the sun, things that are happening in this life. And he started noticing some things. He noticed that death is just indiscriminate. It just doesn't matter. Death comes to the animals and it comes to humans, to trees, to stars. He didn't mention that, but we know it comes to stars. I mean, they just disappear. They go, they explode, whatever. Death comes to the good and the sinner alike. Sometimes death comes early, sometimes it comes late, but there's no way to know. Death comes to the rich and death comes to the poor, to the young and to the old. Death comes indiscriminately. Comes to those that try to work righteousness and those that could not care less about God. Comes to the religious and to the irreligious, to those that sacrifice and those that sacrifice not. And if you read this chapter and the ones before it and the ones after it, it's a constant recurring theme. He is discouraged by what death means to life here on this earth. And you ought to be too. You ought to realize that death makes meaningless nonsense out of this whole experience that we have, if death is all there is. If all we have is life on this earth, this life right now, that is, if the atheist evolutionist is right, that all you've got is a few years on this earth, then you die like a mule, and you disappear into the ashes, you just go away, then everything you've done is meaningless, insignificant. Even what he calls it, vanity and vexation of spirit. And he's absolutely right. His observations here are absolutely right. And it's something that I came to before I even really read Ecclesiastes. I came to this conclusion as a young man. And I realized death makes it all a waste. Death makes it all vanity. Now, I'm not going to deal with that aspect of it. I just want you to realize this is where Solomon's coming from. So now he says, I'm observing men. And I notice, first of all, how does he say it? The heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And have you noticed that? Have you noticed that men are evil? Now, there are some people that deny even the existence of evil. And they say it's all relative. I mean, it just depends upon your point of view. Someone would say Adolf Hitler was not evil, depending on your point of view, right? There are people who have a point of view that say Adolf Hitler was not evil. There's a whole bunch of them out there, by the way. I'll let you know that. Over there in the Middle East, he's like a hero. Come on, wake up. I'm telling you the truth. He's a hero over there. And they're following in his footsteps. They want to finish the job. There's people over there in Eastern Europe that think he was a hero. But now let me ask you something. Can you really believe, I mean, can you really come to this conclusion that there is no such thing as objective evil, that some people are just plain evil, that something is evil in all circumstances, no matter what? For example, I heard the example the other day from someone making this argument, and the example is torturing babies for fun. Is there any situation where that would not be evil? I cannot even imagine it. Torturing babies for fun, that could not possibly be anything but evil. It was C.S. Lewis, he did a much better job of explaining this than I will, but he wrote it in Mere Christianity. But he made the point that he came to believe in God because of the existence of evil that he could not deny. In other words, you have some people who say, I wouldn't believe in a God. I believe it was Albert Einstein who refused to believe in the God of the Bible because of the existence of evil. And there are many others that will use that argument. They'll say, well, if evil exists, if war exists, if there is a God and he allows this stuff to exist, I cannot believe in him. I cannot accept that there any such God exists because there's evil. But now stop and think. It was C.S. Lewis, he says, he got to thinking about the existence of evil and he realized he had no way of calling it evil if an objective goodness does not exist. That's right. You cannot even call it evil. Because if there is no objective goodness, evil really is an absence of goodness. It's a failure at goodness, perhaps. It's something that has to be compared to goodness and even to exist. The idea that it exists, right and wrong, that right and wrong exist, that idea depends upon the existence of God and purpose and meaning and significance in this life. And if there is no meaning and if there is no significance and if there is no God, there's no such thing as evil. But we know evil exists. The same way we know light exists. We open our eyes and we're flooded with light. That's how we know light exists. Well, the same way we know evil exists. Because our minds see what's happening and we say, that's not right. And little babies do that when they're very small. Amen. Little bitty girls can say, that's not right. Amen. And if you doubt me, just get several little girls together and just give one of them a lollipop. They will tell you, that's not right. And maybe it's not right. Bring enough lollipops, I guess, is the moral to that story. All right. Three things I want to point out about this evil. First of all, that objective right and wrong do exist. And we all know it. Come on, folks. We all know it. This actually exists. Right and wrong exist. You make judgments about it every single day. Since you realize that, then you go to the next step, which is that men are full of evil. And I have to say that because some people think, well, yeah, I believe that evil exists. I know that there's some evil things going on out there. I realize that, but not me. I'm not evil. Or at least at the best, I'm only partly evil. Amen. But now what he said is, they're full of evil. Amen. It's just like evil oozing out of every pore. Amen. And I know, you know, we live in a society where goodness is rewarded in a lot of ways. And so we have a tendency to sort of behave ourselves. But you really want to know what's in your heart. It's when all the lights get turned off and nobody can tell what you're doing and nobody can see you. And then you're on your own and you're full of desperation and all kinds of very rock and a hard place kinds of decisions. And that's when you make decisions that tell you what's in your heart. And if that happens, I'm telling you, you'll find out we're all evil. Just like those riots that happened in Baltimore, or those riots that happened in Los Angeles, even riots when they in Detroit when they won the championship, and the riot, they just destroyed their town. Why? Well, because the police backed off and said, "Whoa, hold on, we can't fight this many people," and so everybody just did what they wanted to do. It's amazing. One time we were at church in Morelia, Michoacan, and got done with church, and we had a rainstorm. You cannot believe came down there. Doesn't rain like it does here, but when it rains, wow, it poured down and all the lights went out. All of the semaphores, all of the traffic lights, all the traffic lights went out. What do you think happened? Nobody got anywhere. And you know why? Because nobody wanted to let somebody else go. Nobody would give even room for one person. They would not lose their place in line. They just all were fighting and arguing. And you cannot believe we waited hours at one traffic light. You need the lights. Why? Because people act right when there's traffic lights. They know that they got to stop. And if they don't, then it's going to be a problem. But when they think they can get away with it, they do. That's what they say about the reason why people drive in traffic much different than they talk in public is because they're anonymous. You don't know who's driving. You drive your car and they say if you just put your name and your occupation or even your picture on the back of your vehicle, you would drive better. That's what they say. I think they've probably got something going there. I think they have something figured out. People drive. I know I do. I know I am much worse driver than I am in person. I mean, I am willing to be rude in traffic. Of course, I'm willing to be rude in person, so maybe that don't count. All right. Enough about me. Okay. Men are full of evil. Listen, if there's one thing we know is that if you look at where men have had their way, where they get into power, you've heard the statement that absolute power corrupts absolutely because power corrupts. And this is absolutely true. When somebody gets to the point where they cannot be controlled by any other outward thing, then what's truly in their heart comes out. And what comes out is evil. And you would be doing yourself a disservice if you think you are significantly different than that fella over there who you can judge as evil. You really are the same. It's true that you might have had a better upbringing. And it's easy to judge somebody. Look at the way they are. Look at the tattoos on that person. Look at the kind of words they use. And look at their drunkards. Look, they're this. Look at them on the street. You can judge, and we do. We all judge by appearance. See somebody come in, we judge them by appearance. We judge them by the way they are. But think about it. Where would you be if you were raised by that same drunken mother?
Yeah.
Where would you be if you were in the same circumstances as that person? Do you really think you're that different? No, you know better. And if you believe the Bible at all, you really ought to know better. The Bible says we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible even talks about even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Evil. There's another point to be made here. Not only is there such a thing as objective right and wrong, and objective evil does exist, and people are evil, and that men find themselves full of evil. Full of evil. You are full of evil. It is ready to burst out at you at any moment. And that's why if you have an unguarded moment, you're liable to say something you shouldn't have said. Or you're liable to do something. And that's why you probably shouldn't drink. Because you're liable to do something that comes out of your heart because you got uninhibited by liquor. So, but another point here is to be made is that it's in the heart. It's the heart of men that are full of evil. And so you can judge yourself as not having committed certain sins. You haven't committed certain sins, but it's the evil in the heart that matters.
Amen.
God sees something on the inside. And there's an awful lot of people who think that it has to do with how we act that matters. And God says He's looking at the heart. In fact, God has judged us long before we commit our first act. And I'm not going to get into that. I just want you to know that there is such an ingrained evil in us that no matter how good we act, we need to still recognize how evil we are. Now, there is a solution to this evil, and that's called repentance. God gives us space. He gives us room to repent. And He tells us to repent. And that just means admit that God is right. Admit that you're full of evil and that evil is so deep in you that it's in the heart. Admit that there's not much difference between you and the worst person you can imagine. Admit it. Just admit it and go to God and tell Him the truth about it. Confess your sins to God. That's how God says it's going to work out for you. I've got some provision for you. I've provided a way to overcome your evil in your heart. He's even provided His Holy Spirit to get some victory over the evil in our hearts. And that's tremendously good news. The problem comes when you start denying it, or you start thinking yourself better than someone else, or you start trying to do little pitiful, miserable works in order to purchase something from God or get Him to be on your side. That's not what's going to work. Amen. What will work is you admitting who you are. You know, you need to repent of your sinful nature.
Amen.
Not just repent of the things you've done. You need to repent of the way you are. The way you think, the person you truly are. All right, that's evil. But the second part that he observes is that he says, and madness is in their heart while they live. I know where Danny's going with that one. Madness. Madness is an interesting word. We know that it's something like insanity. But I was reading the dictionary definitions of madness, trying to trying to put them all together. And sometimes you got to read half a dozen or maybe two dozen different dictionaries before you start realizing what this really is. Because sometimes it's hard to get a good picture of what they're talking about. Like, for example, one dictionary says severely disordered state of mind. And even though that's probably true, it's just not really narrowing it down. It's not pinning it down for me very well. What is madness? What are we talking about? Another one said frenzied behavior in animals. Okay, madness. Another one says outbursts of anger, paranoia, and delusion. Another one says reckless, uninhibited, impulsive behavior. Well, I have a lot of dictionaries, folks. I have a collection of dictionaries. Probably an obsession. Might be a little bit of my own madness. But I've got all of these dictionaries, and I just love to read and see how they sort of complement each other. Sometimes they disagree with each other. Sometimes I like to choose between them, say I like this one better because it just seems to make more sense. And sometimes I just disagree with all of them. That's true, and I know that's not terribly wise, because those are some pretty smart people who wrote those dictionaries. But folks, dictionaries can be wrong.
That's right.
But on this case, I've looked at a bunch of different dictionary definitions, and I started seeing some common elements. And it's a little different than insanity. Madness is insanity, and it has some negativity, and it has to do with activity. Madness is insanity with activity. And that's what you find all the way through. It's people who are doing things in a frenzied manner because of their insanity, and that's what causes them. You have an insane. Listen, if somebody has suicidal ideations, and I deal with people like that all the time, there's a whole lot of kids that grew up with not very good mothers, hardly no fathers at all, and all kinds of difficulties, even in drug addictions and all kinds of things, and they have suicidal ideations. They have suicidal tendencies. Now, that's mental illness. That's insanity. But if they don't act out on them, then they won't consider it madness. They won't consider it that kind of problem. It's not when they start cutting themselves, when they start acting in ways that are very negative to themselves, they harm themselves because of their insanity, because they've lost their mental health. When they start doing that, that's what the Bible is talking about when it says madness. People who spend a whole lot of effort and energy on something irrational, even insane. It's madness. And that's what madness means. Even if I can't find a dictionary that says exactly that. That's all right, though. We could say, a lot of things are insanity. Not thinking straight is insanity. You think you're thinking straight, but you're not. And by the way, if you're insane, you don't know it.
That's right.
You're going to have to take somebody else's word for it. That is a problem, by the way. I'll let you know. That's a problem. There's an awful lot of people who are insane that don't know they are insane. All right. So if you're not thinking straight, that's insanity. But if you are acting out on that poor thinking, that's like, for example, I saw this thing on hoarding. And these people have their homes full of old newspapers or some other thing like that. Just stacked full. And I mean way too many of them. Just incredible amount of newspapers so stacked high in their home that they can't hardly walk through. That's madness. It's because they're not thinking straight and they think they're thinking straight. And so they're collecting all these things because who knows when you might run short of newspaper. You just never know. All right. And here Solomon says men have madness in their heart. Now, I've noticed that our modern generation has an awful lot of madness going on. I bet you've noticed that, too. I believe it was Lester Roloff used to say, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And boy, I do think he was right. I got to thinking, what are examples? What is Solomon talking about? What are examples of madness that he's talking about? And I got to thinking, modern art. Some of the examples of modern art. They had this display of modern art in New York City, I believe it was. And it was all kinds of pictures or paintings of feces. Now, let me just be clear. That is insanity. That is madness. All right. There's an awful lot of sexual confusion going on in our generation. Sexual confusion. Now, I'll tell you something. If you feel like you have been misidentified as a girl when you're really a boy, or if you feel like, you know, you're confused sexually, whatever, that might be insanity. But if you start mutilating yourself, that's madness. You see what I'm saying here? What, you know, there's all kinds, we all can have all kinds of funny thoughts. And that might be some insanity in us. I mean, we all have some mental illness. I think we all do. I think there's a certain level of mental illness in everybody alive. And I know that I've heard, I think it's psychiatrist said, like 70 or 80% of Americans are mentally ill. I believe that might be true. I know that we all have certain little quirks, right? We all have certain little tics. Some things, you know, and my wife has mentioned them to me ever so often. We were at Whataburger yesterday, and we bought a couple of things of fries and a chocolate malt. And there we are eating them. When we're all done, I'm putting all the stuff up and stacking it just right because I don't want the trash to take up any more room than necessary in the trash can. And my wife is just shaking her head saying, "You are so OCD. Obsessive compulsive. I'm just trying to conserve space in the trash can. I'm doing my part for the planet. It's the landfills. Come on." All right, so we all have this. But if you act out on it, listen, if you mutilate yourself, you're madness. It's madness. And you have gone insane to a point where you're actually doing yourself some damage. And you might have to have somebody else come to you and say, "Hey, listen, you're not thinking straight." In fact, that's the only way it's going to happen. Because if you're insane, you don't know it. You think you're perfectly fine. That's the difference between folly, insanity, and madness. Folly is when you go against reason or you are disregarding wisdom, disregarding reason. But insanity is when you actually think you're making sense. You think you're the one thinking right and everyone else is thinking wrong. That's where the insanity comes. And so if you've gotten so confused sexually that you actually think that you were born a boy and you think you're a girl, listen, this is a form of insanity. Don't go to the extreme of mutilating yourself or trusting some idiots who want to enable you. Just, man, do the best you can. Follow the reason, people with reason. They say the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men who can render a reason. Why don't you find people who can render reasons and show you, let you think straight and make yourself straightened out in your mind? Because you just don't want to hurt yourself like that. All kinds of self-harm are going on in our day. You know, you think, you could easily say smoking, you know, and drinking and marijuana. And all. These are self-destructive habits that we have that are just in our generation. And the truth is people know they are hurting themselves, but they do it anyway. Why? It's some kind of a mental illness in some way. All right. I noticed that there are some words that are now impossible to define for people and that are offensive to use. Words like normal.
Right.
Seriously, they're having an argument about how to define normal. Another one I've noticed that they have a real hard time defining is manly.
Yeah.
They can't define manly. They really work their... They have a hard time with that. They have a hard time with natural. And they really have a hard time with lose or loser or perverse. How do you define perversion? They can't do it. They don't know how. Why? They've lost their connection to reality.
Right.
They've lost their connection to the way of God and the wisdom of God and the Word of God. They've just lost their connections. It's amazing. You want to talk about fears and phobias nowadays. People are afraid of the craziest things. Some people are afraid. They have phobias about everything. Phobias, again, I think our government, you know, think that all kinds of things are falling in on them. They're not afraid of the right things. It is a type of insanity. Some people are obsessed with the news. They get stuck on news and they can't be away from the news. They've got to hear the news. They're like those Athenians, got to hear something new every single day. Turn on the news. Get home, turn on the news. News, they've got 24-hour news channels. There's something problem. There's a problem with that. I believe that's also. Some people are addicted to gambling. They're losing money at it right and left, but they keep on doing it. Now, why would they do that? Amen. It's a form of insanity. It's madness. Oh, no, and I'm going to get to hurting some people here. Some people are addicted to sports. Hey, you want to talk about madness? You want to talk about madness? And I'm not going to say anything about the Spurs, okay? So you guys are sold on the Spurs. Go for it. Go Spurs, go, right? Listen, there are games over there in England of soccer that when they're done, they destroy the stadium. Yeah. And they kill people.
Yeah. Amen.
They kill people over a game. In the Olympics one time, when that Colombian missed his penalty kick and lost the game, when he got home, one of the drug cartels killed him because he missed his penalty kick. Hey, folks, that's madness.
Amen.
It's just a game. Seriously.
Yeah.
And you know, you with your Spurs, hey, come on now.
Yeah.
It's madness. There are some things that are just plain ridiculous. Well, we could talk about food. We could talk about collections. Talk about what people collect. But I'm not, because I'm not going to waste your time. I know that your time is valuable, and I'm not going to go past my appointed time, so we'll just do what we have to. Solomon is referring not to our modern special wacko generation. He's not referring to the... I don't think Solomon could have even imagined what we are seeing today. He would just... I just really think that he would not believe that this is a real happening. Amen. If he saw it happening. Because, you know, he was still connected in some way to reality. But I'm talking about common human madness that was around in Solomon's day, because he could look around and say, you know, there's an awful lot of madness around here. And he knew it was madness because he knew about death. He knew about the meaning of life. He knew what was important in life and he knew what was not. And so he started seeing how people act and he said, not only are they evil, and they are, but they're mad. They're out of their minds in such a way that they're harming themselves and they're going to a lot of effort to do it. And so just consider, if you'll read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, I think you'll see the same things I see. I'm just going to bring out a few, maybe three or four, something like that. First of all, madness, he mentions, is an obsession with wealth. An obsession with wealth. This is where Americans really are culpable. They've lost their minds in the concept of accumulating more things. This obsession with wealth. I was talking to Jose Hernandez. I was in Mexico this last weekend preaching a conference down there in León. And Jose Hernandez was mentioning, he said it was some show on TV where people go around to these barns and try to buy things from these old folks. And I'm thinking he means American Pickers. I don't know what it was, but this is a show on, you know, some antique dealers, and they go find old folks that's got old stuff and they think they can buy them off of them and sell them. But he said he was amazed by how many of these old, he called us gringos, how these old gringos won't let go of their stuff. We're talking about old people, 80, 90 years old, one foot on a grave, another one on a banana peel. You've heard the expression, right? Somebody around here says it a lot. But hey, these people are on their last leg, but they can't let go of their stuff. Not even for exorbitant prices. I mean, wild prices. Ridiculous. An old sign. Want to give them $1,500 for that sign. Sell it. Sell it. Have you ever seen that Channel 9 thing where they have this antique road show and then some experts pointing at it and saying, I would estimate this thing is worth $17,000. $17,000, sell it.
Yeah.
Sell it now. I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you for 10 right now. 10,000, it's sold. People are obsessed with wealth and accumulation. Who was it that mentioned how many storage places are building up everywhere? Why? Not enough room in the garage. We need some more stuff. And then some of us go around to garage sales and buy people's old stuff. Move it from their garage to our garage. What did Solomon say? He said, what good is the accumulation of all these things? He says, all it is the beholding of it with your eyes. You get to go out and look at it. He says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. It's not like you can eat more than one. Well, I guess you can't eat more than one meal at a time. But there's a limit to what you can eat. There was a lady yesterday at Whataburger. I didn't think there was a limit to what you could eat. Anyway. Another one is an obsession with health.
Yeah. Amen.
Solomon mentions it. Amen. An obsession with longevity. An obsession with long life. And Solomon said, what's the good of living 100 years if you don't enjoy your life?
Right. Amen.
I agree with that.
Amen.
When somebody says, you're going to go running with us? No. I ain't going to go running with you. You going to join a gym? No, I'm not going to join a gym. I got better things to do with my spare time. Now I realize there are some advantages to being in good shape and being in condition. And if you're one of those folks that runs 20 miles a day, more power to you. I don't enjoy running. I don't enjoy all that stuff. And what Solomon said was, you're wasting an awful lot of time on these things just to extend your life just a little bit. But look at the obsession that people have had all these years to extend their life to the longest possible, even though they are eventually going to die anyway, and they know it. What I heard was in America, I'm going to get the statistics wrong, I believe it was 95% of healthcare is spent on the last 6 months of life.
Wow.
The statistic might be wrong because I just pulled it out of my memory and it didn't ring a bell, so who knows. A good amount of health care spent in America is on the last 6 months of life.
That would be true.
Does that make a lot of sense, folks? Does it make a lot of sense to extend your life 6 more months and spend your entire wealth that you've all accumulated all your life and get rid of it all and even go into debt? It doesn't make sense. Like somebody needs to get connected to reality just a little bit closer and say, you know, there is a limit. There is a limit to what I can achieve out of this life. And I'm not telling you to not go to the doctor. I'm not telling you to not get your colonoscopy. I'm not going to, but I'm not telling you to. All right. It's amazing how many people are obsessed with the appearance of health. Not health. They will actually do things that harm their health to look healthy. I know men who take steroids. I mean, serious drugs in order to increase their musculature so that they look healthy. And I don't know that they look that healthy. But that's what they're doing it for, even though they know these things can cause serious health problems. But they want the appearance of health. And I ought to mention also, there's an awful lot of women who do an awful lot of plastic surgery that's really not very good for you and entails some risk just to look healthy or look pretty or look attractive or something. All right, there's another one. And Paul and Solomon mentions it. He talks about the obsession with accomplishment or something he calls profit. The idea of doing something worthwhile in this life. And I think we can all agree that a certain measure of accomplishment is worthwhile in this life. Don't you want to accomplish something in this life? And what are you accomplishing it for? Maybe for your children. Maybe you'd like to get a career, make a good living, build an estate, and leave something to your children, and be able to feed them and clothe them so that they're not embarrassed when they go to school. All of that seems like something worthwhile. But some people get so obsessed with accomplishment that they forget all about where's it going? What am I doing with it? And you get some people who think that the best thing you can do in life is cure cancer or, you know, stop the starvation in Africa. And those are some pretty good things to do with your life. But then those people who you saw didn't starve, they died some other way. There is a limit to what you can accomplish in this life. And when you over-obsess about accomplishments, your accomplishments, I think it's also related to that is an accomplishment with glory or greatness or being remembered a certain way. Some people want to be remembered. Some of these singers, some of these song celebrities, they'll be interviewed. I don't know why people want to interview them. Their lives are extremely boring. But they want to interview them and ask them, you know, how was your life after rehab? And you know, what are you doing with your third marriage that's going to make it better than your second and your first one? That's what they want to know. But these people seem to always talk about being immortalized as the greatest or something. The greatest or something. And nowadays we have basketball teams that want to be immortalized as the greatest at something. I believe we have one this year that broke a whole bunch of records. Oh, whole bunch of records. They're now the best team ever. And people wanting to break their records and more records and all this about accomplishment. All of this about being remembered in the future. And yet, we don't remember what people accomplished 100 years ago. There's just very little that anybody remembers. And so what is the point of going after spending your entire life for your legacy? For what they're going to write about in a biography? And look at us, folks. Nobody's going to write a biography about us. The Bible says, and Solomon says it here. I better read it. It's right there in the same chapter. Look at verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. You the best basketball player that ever lived? You know how many people in the world who never had an opportunity to play basketball? What does it mean? It just doesn't mean anything. There's so little that you can accomplish in this life. So little that you can say this was worthwhile. And so you're a doctor and you invent the cure for smallpox. And all these people who would have died of smallpox now are dying of cancer or dying of heart disease. I believe now the great accomplishment that they're looking for now is to increase. And it's true. Over the last couple of hundred years, our lifespan has increased by about 20%. Instead of dying, if you reach adulthood and your normal lifespan would be around 65, well, now we're getting around to 80. We're getting close. It's increased over 200 years. All the knowledge, all the technology, all the money, all the investment, all the time, the huge medical care industry, all of this stuff involved in order so that we can live till we're 80. What a wonderful accomplishment. And now they're saying with some breakthroughs that are right on, we're on the threshold, we're on the edge of some breakthroughs that will increase our lifespan to over 100. And then you die. Isn't that what he says there? After that, they go to the dead. You might ought to remember that phrase. And after that? And after that? And after you do that, then what? I've done that. I've done that progression with some people. Hey, what are your plans? Oh, I'm going to do this. And then after that? Oh, I'm going to do that. Okay, then after that? Okay, then I'm planning on doing that. Then after that? You're going to die. You're going to die. It's a very important point. Amen. Makes a whole lot of the stuff you live for maddening. It makes you crazy. It makes you insane. Because you're going to lose it all. It's all gone. Now, there's one more thing I want to mention, and that is an obsession with justice. Or fairness, or equality, or insert the word. Insert the politically correct word nowadays. But it's what Solomon mentions here many, many times. He says, I've seen servants riding upon horses and princes walking. That seems topsy-turvy. That doesn't seem right. He says, I've seen it happen unto the wise man as if he weren't wise, like he was a fool. And I've seen it happen to the fool as if he were wise. That's not fair. I have seen, he says, I've seen over and over and over again. Let's read you a couple. Look at 5 verse 8. In Ecclesiastes, right there close by. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. That's no big surprise. It's happening all the time, all over the place. Have you seen that? Have you seen injustice? Have you seen how things are just not right? Things are not being done right? Wow. It's all over the place. 10 verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. What he says in 8:14, it's right there in the same page, general vicinity, says, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. Now I said, this also is vanity. Yep. It's an amazing thing that we become so obsessed about fairness and justice and equality, and we set aside all the things that truly are valuable in our lives. And I've used this example before and when I'm dealing with other issues, but women have been emancipated in the West. I say the West, that's Europe and the United States, nations that were based, that had a lot of influenced by the Bible. And so women have been emancipated. I mean, women have a tremendous amount of equality and blessing, and they can vote. Worst thing that ever happened, but they can vote. Maybe not the worst thing. I was exaggerating. But listen, women have all kinds of things going for them. But now they're fighting for equality in all kinds of things, even if it means killing babies. Yeah. Equality? Are you sure that's what you're looking for? Equality, even if it means the right to kill your child? There's something wrong there. You've lost what's important. And you know, right nowadays we find that that so many young people don't want to get married. Young men don't want to have children. What's wrong with people? What happened? They're worried about the wealth, the accumulation of wealth, or they're all worried about justice and equality, and they're all worried about this or that great monstrous thing. And what Solomon is saying, it's madness. You've lost your mind. You don't see what's important. You don't see how family is important. Just shack up. You can have your life, you can have your cake, and you can eat it too. Women can be have careers the same as men, exactly the same as men. But what about the children? What happens to them? You say, well, it wouldn't be fair if I had to stay home with the kids. You're right. Wouldn't be fair. Who told you life was fair?
Right.
Life's never been fair. It's not fair right now. It won't be fair tomorrow. What are you obsessed about? Obsessed with justice. You know, we have people marching in the streets over there in Mexico, marching in the streets with big standards that say social justice. Social justice. I'd be preaching the gospel on the street, preaching the gospel, and people would come by screaming in my ears, what about social justice? What about equality of income? What about those rich people who have all the privileges? And what about us poor people that don't have anything? And I'd say, I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about eternal life. We don't want to hear about that. Tell us about social justice. But so what you get social justice? So what you get exactly what you're looking for? Equal pay for equal work for whatever. Equality of income. Equality of distribution. Get it all in what you have. You lose your soul in your sin because you weren't looking for the right thing. You weren't, and there's a whole lot of people who aren't looking for the right thing. And they are just as mad as a hatter. You're going to have to figure that expression out, aren't you? Mad as a March hare. That's another one we've got to look up. You're mad. You are out of your mind. Why? Because you're not paying attention to what's important. And what's important is what Solomon says here. God is what's important.
Amen.
Your life is not about you. And your life is not about justice. In fact, this world is not about the human race. Oh, everything about it is about God. It's all about God. It's about God's glory and it's about God's plans. And it's about God's life and about God's desire and about God's light and about God's truth and about His great big ideas that He's got. It's all about God. And you thought it was about you. In fact, you think the world revolves around you. Don't you? Come on, be honest. You honestly think that everything is about you. In fact, your prayers pointed out. Your prayers, it's all about you, all about you. About me, your desires, your ambitions, it's all about you. And Solomon is saying, it's madness. You're worried about accumulation of wealth, you're worried about accomplishment, you're worried about health, you're worried about getting all you can out of this life, living life to its fullest and whatever. What about God? Did it ever cross your mind that your life is not about you, it's about giving glory to God?
Amen.
That your entire life is about giving back to God something and getting to know Him and getting whatever you can get from Him? Something beautiful for eternity. You know what Solomon says clearly here? He said the focus ought to be on God. You ought to focus on God, fearing God and keeping His commandments. It ought to be about what He's doing. It ought to be about what He wants. Focus on God's wisdom. Focus on God's ways. He's got ways. He's got ways of doing things. Did you know marriage is God's way? Maybe you think, well, it doesn't mean anything to me, but it's God's way. I didn't make it up. I didn't invent marriage. And you know, God's way is pretty simple. Man and woman. Not man and man, not woman and woman, but man and woman. God's way. And it's God's way. And if you step out of His way and you say marriage is this or marriage is that, you just redefine marriage however you want, well, you've lost your mind. You've disconnected yourself from reality because God is all there is. God is all, He's what this whole world is about. Focus on God's wisdom. Focus on God's ways. Focus on God's will. What about God's will? What does God want?
Amen.
So many people that are living their lives not worried about what God wants, they're worried about what they want. What about what God wants? What about focusing on God's Word? You think this life is to be lived without focusing on God's Word? Why do you think He gave you His Word? There are people who live their life, they even believe in God, but they don't read His book. They're not focused. And you know what Jesus told you to focus on, right? Not this life, but the one that's coming. This life is real small. He says, thieves break through and steal stuff here. That's what Jesus said. Thieves can get in and take your stuff. He said, why don't you put your treasure somewhere where no thief can take it? This is Jesus' commandment. I mean, it's Jesus' wisdom. And He's trying to give you some insight. So that you get off this road of madness that you're on. And I'm telling you, the world's there. And you think it's bad now. You wait till this generation we're raising now gets in control.
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, we are in now, right now, we're being governed by our parents. All them governors up there are people from the generation before. We got laws that were passed down from our parents. What happens when our kids start ruling things? You talk about the world going to hell in a handbasket. This world is not on a good path because we have got some of the craziest people in charge.
Yeah, that's right.
Our Supreme Court has made some decisions that are just beyond the pale. One has to wonder, what are you thinking? What is wrong with you? But they're madness. That's what it is. You know what's wrong with them? It's madness.
Yeah.
It's madness. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need, and you can be saved from this madness, you need to let someone tell you it's madness. Because you don't know it yourself. If you're focused on wealth, you're insane, you don't know that you're insane. You can't tell it. It seems like the right thing to do. It seems like it makes sense to you.
Amen.
Just like hoarding newspapers seems to make sense to some people. I mean, seriously, it's just like drunkenness seems to make sense to some people. It seems homosexuality makes sense to some people. But somebody in their right mind, such as God, He could tell you, that's madness.
Right.
That's not smart. And you've got to have enough sense, just enough faith to say, God knows what He's doing. Amen. God knows what He's saying. God knows what I should be doing. I have to trust God. And you want proof? You want me to give you some kind of a mathematical proof that the Bible is God's Word and that you ought to believe it? All I can tell you is, it works. You give your life to God's ways by the Bible, by the Word of God. Give your life to Him. Let Him make some decisions in your life. Let Him tell you what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. Let Him be your connection to reality. Make everything about Him and just see if it doesn't just clear things up. Because it does. God's Word works. Let Him decide whether you're going to get drunk or not. Let Him decide how you're going to get married and how you're going to raise your kids. Let Him decide what you're going to do with your life, what kind of job to get. Let Him make these decisions for you. And you'll see that you get off of that circular track where you just keep going around in circles. Like a dog chasing his tail. You talk about madness. Dog chasing his tail. And that's exactly the way some people are. But you'll get out of that and you'll start walking on God's road and it'll make a difference in your life. All right, we're done. Listen, if you've got a question, you're not clear. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you think you're a little insane if this world's nonsense. I know I was. I was a kid and I was insane with this world's nonsense. I had some grand ambitions. I had some big ideas for myself until God broke in on my mind and changed my thinking. And I know that was God opening my heart. I know that was a miracle. I'm not that smart. But I saw it. I saw it clear as day. God showed me I was going to die and that all of my decisions in this life, all this whole book of Ecclesiastes came clear to me when God showed that to me. And it changed my life. Then I gave my life to God and I'm telling you, it worked. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're in the fog, but God can break in on you and He can show you. He can show you by the Bible. He can show you by just His Holy Spirit making it clear to you. You'll throw away your life. You'll lose everything of value if you don't get off this roller coaster of madness that you're on. You got to give God your life. If you've got any questions, you need to talk. You want to be saved. You want to know how to be saved. You want to know how to get off this. If you've got some confusion about your sexual orientation or whether you're a girl or a boy, let the Bible help you.
Amen.
I just want to let you know, I'm here for you. I'd be glad to talk to you. I'd be glad to sit right here. We go in a room and we'll just talk. And I'll show you what the Bible says. I'll do my best. And if I'm busy talking to somebody else, we got other people here that can show you in the Bible. We got several pastors and we've got preachers and we've got missionaries and former missionaries. And we got all kinds of people here that know the Bible and can show you the Bible's answers. Don't walk out of here as if there's no one willing to help you. Because we want to help you. Let's pray. Lord, I want to ask You to bless this congregation here because we came here in Your name wanting to serve You, be in some way a blessing to You. Lord, You've been such a blessing to us. You've been such a blessing to me. And I want to thank You for what You've done for me in my life. And I want You to give that same thing to these people here that don't have it. And those of us that have it, God, we raise up Your name in glory and praise. We want to thank You for Your life that You gave us and the life that You've promised us. Lord, bless us in our plans today. Bless these mothers that are enjoying their special day. God, I ask You to take care of them, and I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come back tonight, 7:00.